This is an iHeart podcast.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Let's have some fun. On a Tuesday, we are churning already through the week, and we have a huge, wonderful show for you tonight on the world-famous Jesse Kelly Show. We're going to go up, and we're going to go down. And no, I'm not making any references to Kamala Harris. We're going to be everywhere from Cracker Barrel to the Smithsonian Museum to structural problems. I'll tell you that. We're going to start out with structural problems. We'll talk a little bit about Mexico. We'll talk about emails, all that, and so much more on the world famous Jesse Kelly Show. Now, let me tell you a little story. It's a true story. I'm going to change the names, dates, and locations, but the story is true. And this, you're just going to have to hang with me for a minute, so I'm going somewhere. There was a minor league baseball team, single A, not triple A, so it wasn't the majors, but minor league baseball team. It's a long time ago. You know, minor league teams are always coming up with kind of little gimmicks to get people out to the ballpark, you know, free hot dog and hat night and that kind of thing. It's just fun, whatever, it's fun. Single A, which is the lowest level of minor leagues, they really have to do this stuff. And there was a single A baseball team that had a contest. And the contest doesn't matter. It's not important. But the fan who won the contest, what he won was an at-bat for the team. He got to take, no, Chris, you didn't see it. It's not, I've seen videos like this online. No. I've seen videos like, you did not see this one. It was before that, the internet age. I'll put it that way. He got an at bat with a baseball team. He was a big kid, athletic football player, if I remember right. Big kid, athletic. He gets a real at bat against a real single A pitcher. Okay. He steps up, takes a couple pitches, and then crushes one, hits a home run, deep home run. He was a left-handed hitter, hits a deep home run to right field. It was startling. So startling how hard he hit this ball that the minor league manager of the team called him in for a tryout and said, oh my gosh, with that kind of power, let's see what you got. And he promptly embarrassed himself horrifically and didn't make it past the first 20 minutes of his tryout. Couldn't hit the ball solidly again. Couldn't field. Couldn't throw. Goodbye. Thanks a lot. Go back to the stands. I appreciate it very much. Now, what happened there? One moment. One great moment. Hitting the ball out of the park as a fan is something to celebrate. You should cheer for it. You should tell your kids and your kids' kids about it. And if this had been the video era, you should be bragging about it and showing the video to everybody. Yes, it's good. Be happy about that moment. But a moment does not make you ready, does not mean you are ready to all of a sudden get involved with a bunch of dudes who have been training their entire 18, 19 years on this planet, baseball all day, every day, coaches, summer leagues, private lessons. You're not ready. You are not structurally ready. And it's fine that you're not ready. It's not your fault that you're not ready, but you can't hit one home run and think you are. You hit that one home run, and if it gives you the taste that you want to be a baseball player, time to start practicing hard, because everyone else on that field has been. Now let's discuss America, crime, communism, institutions, Washington, D.C., Donald Trump, so many other things are going to be mixed in with this. I'm going to play something for you here. This is the D.C. police chief. You know the story. We talked about it yesterday. Donald Trump sending in the National Guard, taking over the Washington, D.C. Police Department. Let's clean up the murders, the thefts. Washington, D.C. is a crime-ridden dump. Let's step in and take care of it. Today, there was a little press conference. This is the D.C. police chief.
What the chain of command is now?
What does that mean?
Well, is it Pam Bondi speaking to the mayor, speaking to you, or how does this work?
So the executive order is clear. The president has requested MPD services in our home rule charter.
The rest of it doesn't matter as the mayor steps in to save her. Let's focus on the first couple seconds right off the bat. Let me play the police chief's response again.
That's what the chain of command is now?
What does that mean?
Is this what the chain of command is now? What does that mean? What's the chain of command? Okay. Remember Phil Washington? You probably don't remember this. Unless you are the most hardcore politico in the world, you don't remember this or know who this is. Joe Biden picked Phil Washington to lead the FAA. Lead the FAA. Remember his questioning in Congress? Remember this?
So Mr. Washington, can you quickly tell me what airspace requires an ADS-B transponder?
Not sure I can answer that question right now.
That's okay. We'll just keep going. So that's a pretty important part. Mm-hmm. So what are the six types of special use airspace that protect this national security that appear on FAA charts?
Sorry, Senator, I cannot answer that question.
Okay. So what are the operational limitations of a pilot flying under basic med?
Senator, I'm not a pilot, so...
But obviously you'd ever see the Federal Aviation Administration, so any idea what those restrictions are under basic med, quickly?
Well, some of the restrictions I think would be high blood pressure. Some of them would be...
It's more like how many passengers per airplane, how many pounds in different categories, and what altitude you can fly under, so... And then... amount of knots. It's under 250 knots. So it's not have anything to do with blood pressure.
Remember Cincinnati's police chief? As long as we're talking about police chiefs, group of animals surround this older couple leaving a jazz festival, hit the woman so hard that she is probably has permanent brain damage now. Her face looks like she just went 10 rounds with Mike Tyson. After watching innocent people be savaged in her city. Remember the police chief got upset this?
Social media and journalism and the role it plays in this incident. And yes, guys, that's you. That is you. Social media, the post that we've seen, does not depict the entire incident. That is one version of what occurred.
Let's have a Daddy Jesse talk. It might be a little sober. I promise we're going to move on and talk about something else good, but we have to have a Daddy Jesse talk here for a minute. I am happy, very, very happy that we're going to clean up Washington, D.C. I'm assuming you're happy as well. I'm very, very happy that wonderful people like Harmeet Dhillon and others are in this government, and they are working hard to clean out the DEI communism from the government, purging it as fast as they can purge it from the military, DOJ, FBI, CIA. I am happy that these things are starting. I am happy that the Trump administration, credit to him, that he is leaning on the universities of this country to stop their communism. No, no money if you do this. No, no money if you do that. No, no, none for you. None for you. I am happy. I'm happy that the corporate world is making some improvements. Some. Obviously, there's a long way to go. We're about to get to that. We are doing good things. We are seeing good things. But you know what we've done? What we're doing right now, we stepped into a single-A baseball game and we hit a home run. And it feels good. And we should feel good. We should smile. We should celebrate. We should tell all of our friends. We should call our dad when we're leaving and say, "Dad, you're not going to believe what happens." We should bask in the glory of the cheering fans and the hot dogs. Maybe you'll get a cheerleader to peck you on the cheek, and life is good, and we should be happy. We should not, under any circumstances, think we just made the team. And we definitely shouldn't think we're a baseball star. Let's have a frank talk in a moment. Before we have that frank talk, let me have one with you. Maybe you're thinking this whole trade war stuff's gone pretty well so far. Maybe you're not. Maybe your small business has suffered. Maybe you're doing okay. But the trade war hasn't begun yet. Not the real one. Headline is Trump just extended the tariffs with China, gave him another 90 days. Why do you think he did that? Because right now we're in a situation where if a trade war kicks off between us and China, it won't be bad. It'll be catastrophic for both countries, to be honest with you. Catastrophic. Don't think we're out of the woodwork yet. Call Gold Co. and protect the retirement you worked for. You worked hard for that money, putting it away and putting it away. Now, what are you doing to protect it? Is it just dangling out there like a piece of meat, waiting for the market to snatch it away? Get some precious metals as part of it and get some physical gold or silver. I don't care what color it is. Call them 855-817-GOLD or go to jessielikesgold.com. We'll be back.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
I like it.
Returns next.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful, wonderful Tuesday. Remember, you can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Your love, your hate, your death threats, your Ask Dr. Jesse questions for Friday. Just make sure you address me as Bronco. Now, back to what we were discussing. I am happy. You are happy. We are working. We have begun, just begun the work of purging cultural Marxism from this society. But I want to explain something the left does so, so incredibly well. World War One. You know World War One. I'm sorry, I'm going to sidetrack, but I'm going somewhere. World War One. That it was trench warfare. You know that, right? And what it turned into was this, because being on the defensive was so easy because of the weapons and the barbed wire and machine guns and things like that. The defensive was so much easier than being on the offense. What would happen is the countries, France and Germany, mainly Britain, of course, would try to bite and hold territory, bite and hold, bite and hold. What's that mean? Well, you can't just take over a huge chunk of land. You just try to move your trench line 50 yards forward, 100 yards forward. Try to take 100 yards of ground and then stop. That's all you're going to get. And then dig in. Dig in, put up your barbed wire, put up your sandbags, bite and hold it so they can't get it. You have inched your way forward and now they probably can't get it back. You will hold it. Permanently, at least semi-permanently, until they come up with something different. American communists have done this. It's already been done in our culture, in our country. Bite and hold, and this is what I mean. Through years and years and years. In fact, Yuri, Chris, grab me that Yuri Bezmenov clip we've played 1,000 times. Years and years and years of communist infiltration and then finally communist conquest of our education system. We have for decades educated legions and legions of Americans. Not the majority, not the majority. We've educated legions of Americans in the thinking, the base thinking that, I mean, the country kind of does suck. And look, this even takes place in good schools. Well, we did steal the land. We stole it from the saintly Native Americans, and we did... I mean, but really, that's all we did, that and slavery. And so it's kind of, the country's kind of evil, and it kind of has an evil founding. And because of that, really, any barbarian should be able to come here and pillage the place, certainly from white people who've done nothing but kill people. This may sound crazy to you, and legions of Americans may not go to Elizabeth Warren level, but they believe those basic things about this country. Chris, play KGB agent Yuri Bezmenov. What did they do here?
Ideological subversion is the slow process, which we call either ideological subversion or active measures, aktivne meroприятия in the language of the KGB, or psychological warfare. What it basically means is to change the perception of reality of every American to such an extent that despite of the abundance of information, no one is able to come to sensible conclusions in the interests of defending themselves, their families, their community, and their country. It's a great brainwashing process, which goes very slow, and it's divided in four basic stages.
Pause for a second right there. We may walk through this a little bit. Let's talk about what he just said there. Failing to defend the interests of yourself and your country. How many people do you know, or maybe you yourself suffer from this, how many people do you know are laden down with some level of guilt for some reason about who you are, what you believe, what you own? Maybe you have wealth guilt. You have things. Other people don't have it. Maybe it's a skin color guilt. Maybe you're white and the white people have conquered a lot and other people, minorities that don't have, maybe it's that. Maybe it's purely American guilt. We are so wealthy, we have so much, and obviously for us to be that wealthy, I mean, other countries really should be able to have some of it, right? That's what Jesus would want. I mean, that's what my skinny jeans wearing loser pastor taught me, that Jesus would want. But how difficult would it be for you to tell a communist no if they use the right excuses on you? How difficult would it be? And you can be honest with yourself. You don't have to email me and let me know. You don't have to turn and tell your buddy or your husband or your wife or something like that. How difficult would it be for you to look a communist in the eye who's saying those things to you and say, no, this is mine. No, you cannot. Ah, but I deserve. No, you don't. Oh, but you did. No, I didn't. And even if I did, screw you. How difficult would it be for you to make that stance? Now, granted, you're sitting here listening to the Jesse Kelly Show, so probably easier for you than others. But let's set you aside. How about your normie friends? Your normie neighbors? Yeah, look at Chris's face. How easy would it be for them to say no? Or would they immediately start with the qualifiers and the navel gazing? I guess I do have a lot of things you don't, and I am kind of privileged in a way. I'll let this continue because we're having a serious talk. Next.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It's still real to me, damn it!
Returns next.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a fantastic Tuesday, doing a 30,000 foot view, a larger cultural discussion about where we are as a country, where we are culturally. We have begun the fight. Credit to us. We have begun to fight back against the communists, but we have to keep in mind the communists have been fighting this fight for years. They have been biting and holding our culture, moving slowly forward as they conquered the institutions and, more importantly, as they conquered the mind of the American people. We just played a little tidbit of Yuri Bezmenov talking about how they worked so hard with the education system to ensure there are legions of Americans who couldn't defend themselves, couldn't defend their country. We see this all over the place. How many times did you see this? George Floyd's the best recent example. I always bring it up because it's the best recent example. The communists saw an opportunity. He screamed from the rooftop that America is racist. Cops are racist. We shouldn't have cops anymore. This entire justice system is against black people. Black people should be sprung loose from prison. White people are evil. And let me ask you, oh, I know it's all on the outs now. How many people on the right succumbed to the propaganda? A lot. Please don't pull it up, Chris. I can't relive it again. Do I need to play you the press conferences of Tim Scott working with Cory Booker on federal police reform? Do I need to bring up Donald Trump having a round table for policing? Oh, all the way down the line. We caved. We backed off. We navel gazed. We couldn't defend ourselves. Well, I mean, it is kind of a racist place. There is a lot of. And what did they do? They bit and held. The communist conquests from St. George Floyd aren't over just because the Black Lives Matter people aren't marching in the streets anymore. Those were wins we never got back. Police departments from Minneapolis to New York to Memphis to Baltimore, police departments wiped out across the United States of America. Do you remember what the police union came out and said when Donald Trump was taking over Washington, D.C.? Remember what they said? They said, praise God, we can't get officers anymore. These big city police departments that got gutted in the face of the Black Lives Matter savages haven't staffed up to this day. To this day. They bit and they held. They bit and they held. Chris, go ahead with more Yuri Bezmenov. Go ahead.
The first one being demoralization. It takes from 15 to 20 years to demoralize a nation. Why that many years? Because this is the minimum number of years which requires to educate one generation of students in the country of your enemy, exposed to the ideology of the enemy. In other words, Marxism-Leninism ideology is being pumped into the soft heads of at least three generations of American students without being challenged or counterbalanced by the basic values of Americanism, American patriotism. The demoralization process...
Speaking of demoralization, what kind of things have we seen for demoralization in this country? Allow me to reference an article by my good friend Steve Friend, former FBI special agent. This article's on the Blaze if you'd like to go read it. We're going to reference it a couple times tonight. It's old. It's a couple years old. But this is a little tidbit. In 2020, the Smithsonian's National Museum of African American History and Culture released and quickly retracted a chart listing the characteristics of white culture. Tell me this isn't demoralization in action. I'll go back to the article. The list, this is the list of white culture. The list included self-reliance, objective thinking, hard work, respect for authority, delayed gratification, rigid time schedules, politeness, and adherence to English common law. Anyway, I don't have to go on into the rest of it. Demoralization looks like exactly that. The Smithsonian putting out articles telling you you have white culture if you're polite to people. Anyway, Chris, continue.
American patriotism. The demoralization process in the United States is basically completed already. For the last 25 years, actually it's over fulfilled because demoralization now reaches such areas where previously not even Comrade Andropov and all his experts would even dream of such a tremendous success. Most of it is done by Americans to Americans, thanks to lack of moral standards, as I mentioned before.
Stop. Thanks to lack of moral standards. What happens today when your child's second grade teacher is teaching them how to be gay? What happens to you? What happens today when you raise your voice about it, when you raise a stink about it, when you show up at a school board meeting, when you go sit down, talk to the principal, maybe you post about it on Facebook, what happens today? Immediately, you are slapped down, shouted down. Why, are you a bigot? Why are you so hateful? What are you? They sent the FBI to the parking lot to jot down your license plate number if you showed up at a school board meeting saying, please don't tell my daughter to chop her breasts off in school. They called you a domestic terrorist. Lack of moral standards. If you even bring up a moral standard today, I would like the LGBTQ books removed from the public library. Why? Because it's disgusting. If you even said that today, you would be trashed publicly. Lack of moral standards. Go ahead, Chris.
It's the lack of moral standards. As I mentioned before, exposure to true information does not matter anymore. A person who was demoralized is unable to assess true information. The facts tell nothing to him. Even if I shower him with information, with authentic proof, with documents, with pictures, even if I take him by force to the Soviet Union and show him concentration camp, he will refuse to believe it.
I want to reinforce that this is not a little chat to bring you down. This is a chat to wake us up. We hit one home run in a baseball game. We are not ready to play with the pros. The cultural Marxists have marched through every single part of this society for decades. It's not that they were in positions of power in our institutions. It's not that they were in charge of things. They are. Yes, the Trump administration, to their credit, they're working hard to get them out. Do I need to start pulling up articles? I'm not going to do it, don't worry, about all these people in the university system, in corporate America, who had all these DEI titles, Director of Diversity and Inclusion, and instead they simply scrubbed the website and changed their title and left them all right where they are. Do I need to play you the undercover videos, courtesy of undercover organizations like Project Veritas, James O'Keefe, and others, of these people admitting on camera, we didn't change a thing. We haven't changed a single thing. We just know we have to hide it now. We're changing titles. We're shifting things around. We have not won some victory over our institutions. And this entire talk brought me to the point of this entire talk, which I will get to in just a moment. Before I get to the point of all this, then we'll move on and actually have something really exciting to talk about, something fun to talk about before I get to that. Corporate America has participated wholeheartedly with their money, with your money, in this culture war against us. Corporate America declared war on you. Verizon, AT&T, and T-Mobile declared war on your culture. Talk about lack of moral standards. Go look up those organizations in DEI. Go look up your cell phone company in Black Lives Matter, Planned Parenthood. Go look up your cell phone company in ESG. Is that where you want to spend your money? It's not where I spend my money. I switched to Pure Talk. I switched to the cell phone company run by a Vietnam veteran. A cell phone company so absurdly American, they hire Americans for customer service. They don't go shopping to save some money overseas. They hire Americans, and yet they still save you and me money. I pay half of what I used to pay, and I get the same service, same network. Switch. It's time. Dial #250 and say Jesse Kelly. It's time. Now's the time. #250, say Jesse Kelly. We'll be back.
I've got an animal inside of me.
This is Jesse Kelly.
You're listening to The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is The Jesse Kelly Show. I swear I'm going to move off this now that we're done with this. Well, now that we're about done with this little talk, we'll move on and we won't look back again. Just felt like we needed to be shaken awake a little bit. In fact, just occurred to me, I'm gonna read a couple things from this article I referenced earlier from Steve Friend, former FBI special agent, my friend Steve Friend. He wrote this article for The Blaze. Have you ever heard of the 30 by 30 initiative? The 30 by 30 initiative. Well, he goes on. In this article, he's talking about the failed assassination attempt of Donald Trump, but allow me to read a couple things, and keep in mind, when I read this, this isn't just something adopted by the United States Secret Service. More than 200 other law enforcement agencies around the country have adopted this. You want to know why you have people like this in charge of police departments.
What the chain of command is now?
What does that mean?
Well, is it?
You want to know why people like this are routinely in charge of police departments now?
Social media and journalism and the role it plays in this incident. And yes, guys, that's you. That is you.
The 30 by 30 initiative aims to advance the representation and experiences of women in police agencies across the United States. The program seeks to increase the representation of women in police recruit classes to 30% by 2030 and ensure police policies and culture support the success of qualified women officers throughout its career. In 2022, the U.S. Marshals became the 200th agency to sign the 30-30 Pledge. The 30-30 Initiative's website offers resources explaining its agenda. One document titled, What Works? The Social Science Research Behind Advancing Women in Policing, and states that policing is traditionally a male-dominated profession, and even today, white heterosexual males comprise the majority of law enforcement. It also describes a culture of homophobia and criticizes how sexual and racial minorities must conform to performative heterosexuality or masculinity. Do you want me to continue? You know what? I could continue. I'm going to stop there. The institutions the communists have spent decades conquering are still conquered. And Donald Trump can and probably will clean up Washington, D.C., and he should be applauded for it. We can clean out some of the gunk from the military, and he should be applauded for it. FBI, CIA, some of the gunk from corporate America, some of the gunk from the university system, the media system. No question, we are starting to take steps. Do I need to talk to you about the law schools? Are you angry about the fact that we have judges and DAs turning animals loose all over the streets of this country? Of course you are. Of course you are. I am too. Because I have a family. I have a wife. I have two sons. I have a mother. I have a sister. I have people who mean the world to me. And just like you, I worry about someone hurting them. Now, do we need to talk about what they're learning in law schools today? Do you even want to know? They're learning to hate you. They're learning to hate the United States of America. It's not that they used to learn that. They're learning it today. As you're listening to the sound of my voice, legions and legions of future judges and district attorneys are graduating from our most prestigious universities, and they are marching forward like the communist savages they are to ensure that next illegal gets turned loose, that next gangbanger gets turned loose and hurts you or somebody you love. My point in this is the worst possible thing we can do right now is sit back, rest on our laurels, and say to ourselves, we're winning. Oh my gosh, we're the furthest thing in the world from winning. We have started to play the game. We are starting to take back some ground. We are fighting against animals who have spent decades conquering this nation, and they have still conquered this nation. We must reconquer it. We are counter-revolutionaries. We are not in power. Don't for a second think because Donald Trump's there and we have the Senate and we have the House. Don't for a single second think we have the power. City after city, county after county, state after state are still run top to bottom by the most disgusting communists on the planet, still turning criminals loose, still attacking success, still attacking your children, your values, your culture. We have a million miles to go. A million miles to go. We have won a critical battle And we could not have begun to fight back without winning that critical battle. I want to emphasize that. It was huge to win that battle in November. But remember the talk we had before November. How many times did you hear me say it? You were probably ready to put your fist through the radio. How many times did you hear me say saving a country and losing it is a process, not an event? A process, not an event. Don't for a second think we are out of the woods. We have legions of institutions across this country run by savages. Savages who hate everything good and decent. You know what? Thanks to Delia Ramirez, representative in Congress, these people pilot your planes still. They run that college you sent Aiden, Jaden, and Braden to. They're in the military. They're police chiefs.
For me, being an American is the ability to dream, to love, to have dissent, to be able to organize and build a kind of solidarity that recognizes the good and the bad of the formation of this country, that is willing to reckon with how we have used colonialism to harm others, especially in the Western Hemisphere. And
they're not gone. They're just more quiet. We have work to do. Stay involved. Get on your Secretary of State's website and start reconquering your local government, your county government, your state government. We have conquest to do. Let's march. Get some chalk. You'll be ready to go. I don't have the energy. That's because you don't have chalk in your body. You don't have the energy because you've heard me talk about natural herbal supplements from chalk 100 times and you've kind of blown it off. Maybe you went to the website chalk.com/Jesse. Maybe you went to the website and almost clicked on a couple things you're not really sure. Maybe your finger was even hovering over the button. Why don't you just give it 90 days? Look, get a subscription so you save money. Cancel it in 90 days. Put it in your phone. If you don't feel better, I want you to cancel your chalk subscription. You are about to have more energy and be in a better mood than you thought was possible. You thought those days were behind you. Well, I'm not young anymore. Nope. They're ahead of you again. CHOQ. Chalk.com/Jesse. Go. Get a subscription. Now let's talk about something fantastic. I'm in a mood. Next.
This is an iHeart podcast.